We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Everyone, and welcome to O'Reilly Radio episode 7 for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. I am your ever present host, Andy Cowan, and with me I have David.
David is here.
Yes, we are missing one of our other usual suspects, but you know, that's what happens when people get jobs. So we're going to, hopefully Michael will be joining us as soon as he sloughs off the workday. Some errata from last week. We had, we were discussing quantum computers and, well, we kind of stumbled into quantum computers and David professed that, oh yeah, we got them. We got them. And I said, no, we don't. No, we don't.
I should have known better.
So here's the amazing thing. We're both right. It's Schrodinger's computer. It both is quantum and is not quantum, probably depending on the observational state. Or, more in particular, I think the state of the observer. Because there are some computer scientists out there that say, okay, what you're doing, though it may have certain properties that could be described as quantum, there's no way this is actually a quantum computer. And then there's the others, of course, that are involved in the research, and they are all in. And say, this is totally a quantum computer. Well, the results are a little bit mixed. If you have dedicated processing and you've geared it towards a certain operation, you can blow this quantum computer away with standard silicon. And that's even on things that the quantum computer is really good at. So it's just not there yet. But obviously, these are baby steps. We are in early stages. It's been around for a couple years, and obviously Lockheed has really just jumped in on that. I've got a link in the show notes, so you too can go take a look at the quantum computing home in the research group for isi.edu. So go take a look at that and get yourself edumacated on the quantum. Or
and
not.
We have... unsubstantiated reports that we are now being joined by Michael.
This is a test of the Michael Broadcasting System.
Oh, wow.
The Michael Broadcasting System is working.
Fantastic.
And you are joining the show already in progress.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking that you guys were going to be further along, but then I get this text and I'm almost home.
Well, we're kind of hanging out and waiting for you a little bit and talking about tongue-in-cheek things. And
I was had some pizza.
Yeah, so. And there's plenty to talk about, obviously. If you've taken a look at the show notes at all, go ahead and pull those up. But there's a lot going on tonight. Speaking of things that are literally going on this evening, let's jump right into – there's a meteor shower going on.
Ooh, neat.
Like 1,000 meteors per hour.
It'll be on neat.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty epic. And
that is Keanu Reeves. Whoa.
It's pretty wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wow. So I hope that there were some people that were actually going to really watch the stream, but I'm seeing a whole lot of nothing out there. And you know what? Sorry, people. You're just not going to hear about it. I hope you already know about it. And know to go outside in North America between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. to see lots of streaks across the sky. So I hope you get your blankets and go have
yourself
a great time.
Speaking of that, we might make a more concerted effort to try to call these things out ahead of time if we can.
Yeah, we're trying for all the social networking we can, but you know, there's those algorithms, they're just against us sometimes. So
they are sometimes.
So we're working on it, obviously. Never before seen meteor shower named this really ridiculously long name that I don't think I'm capable of pronouncing. But I'll
Science
try,
loves big names.
But I'll try anyway for your amusement.
The we should all give it a shot.
Camel Oparidelid. Camelopardalid.
Camelopardalid.
What he said.
Wow. Wow. So we have one success and two fails.
What? What that man said right there is happening this evening.
I'm happy to help.
It's so
you
it's
also
apparently
speak dolphin.
It's apparently
no, I do not speak dolphin.
Nice. It's apparently the debris field of a comet that passed by in the 1800s. 209P linear.
Dang.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Wow. So some people should go out and look. And actually, if you were able to, they're even going to broadcast it live on Ustream. So I really hope that some people are actually seeing this or staying up late to see it. And those times were Eastern for anybody that's outside of our time zone. And, oh, those in the Midwest, not so good viewing. Down in Florida, good viewing. Texas, mostly fair to poor. It's like a weather report. That's crazy. Anyway, so we'll move past that since nobody's really paying that close attention to us, sadly. It's your loss, people. Okay. So we have some other things that are really just wackadoo. Like masturbation cutting your risk of prostate cancer.
Just what we needed, another excuse to...
It's
no, we don't. We don't need an excuse.
No,
cry havoc and let's slip the dogs of war.
This story came to us courtesy of BBC, so it's actually possibly credible. and they say cancer-causing chemicals could build up in the prostate if men do not ejaculate regularly. You know, I don't need any other reason. There we go.
Right?
It's for my health. I'm good to go.
Exactly. We can. This is one section that we could say, you know what? Confirmation bias be damned.
No, you know, realistically, though, now that I think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Because it's, you know, it's one of those biological imperatives. We're supposed to be humping like rabbits to pump out children because that's what you do. And if you're not, bad things could happen.
As,
it makes sense.
As they said in Something About Mary, you got to get the baby batter off the brain. So Dr. Chris Hiley, who's of the Prostate Cancer Charity, said, this is a plausible theory. And you know what? I'm going to go with that. Don't know if there's anything more that needs to be said about that.
It's the best quote ever.
Yeah.
This is a plausible theory.
This is a plausible theory.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
Put that on his tombstone, would you? Okay. Plausible theory. Could have done. Plausible theory. So.
Baby got back.
Yeah,
this is a plausible theory.
So we have a couple places that we could go from that story for tangential reasons. Because obviously sex is one of those things that's just going to be nice and pertinent in the show topics this evening. Let's see, gay marriage, just all over. Or
all over the
Yeah, just all place. Over the place, except for North Dakota. And let's see, there's a Florida lawmaker that says that the Common Core curriculum standards that have been put out by the federal government are going to turn kids gay.
Let's talk about that.
We want to talk about that?
I want to talk about that because that's amazing.
This is brand new information being beamed into my ear holes today. So please continue.
Charles Van Zandt.
Why would it be any other place?
Yeah, big shocker here. Florida Republican Representative Charles Van Zandt believes that increasing educational standards causes homosexuality.
It's also socialism, and it leads children into dependence on the government.
You know, there's a 1 minute 36 second clip of him basically damning himself to non-reelection. Let's go ahead and listen to that now.
Our new Secretary of Education in Florida recently appointed AIR to receive the $220 million contract for end-of-course exam testing, prepare those tests. Please go on their website. click the link to what they're doing with you, and you will see what their agenda really is. They are promoting as hard as they can any youth that is interested in the LGBT agenda, and even name it 2-S, which they define as having two spirits. The Bible says a lot about being double-minded. These people that will now receive $220 million from the state of Florida unless this is stopped will promote double-mindedness in state education and attract every one of your children to become as homosexual as they possibly can. I'm sorry to report that to you. Randy, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. I really hate to bring you that news.
But I hate to bring him the news that there's no way he's going to get possibly reelected after that.
Well, I don't know.
You know, yeah, I know. Florida. I know.
It is Florida.
I'm hopeful.
But you know what? I took the FCAT test and SATs and whatnot, and I didn't come down myself with a flaming case of the gays.
The flaming case of the gays. Nice. now, when he's saying of two spirits, that is technically the Native American, you know, mindset of homosexuality, you know, two spirits coming together, you know, big deal. That, of course, they weren't really absolutely crazy about apparently reproduction as the modern Republican Party and super religious right is.
Well, I mean, two spirits coming together also happens during marriage.
It kind of is supposed to be that way, isn't it? But, they don't want to talk about that part.
In theory. But, I mean, not to mention, you know, standardized testing didn't get totally huge until, I don't know, when was that? That was about 10 or 12 years ago. No, it was a little longer than that, about 14 years ago. So that would have been middle of GWB.
They've always been trying to set standards. But the real big thing is that they did not have national standards until Common Core.
Mm.
And that's really what they're, I think, the most against, is that the federal government is telling them what they have to do.
Well, we have to look at the rest of the world. Look at all those countries that are beating us, are beating the pants off of us in math and science and all this nonsense. We need to be doing what everyone else is showing us works instead of being the laughingstock of the world. But, you know, they don't care about that because the government is bad, even though they get all of their power by being our government. You know, I don't understand.
I don't understand this promoting the LGBT agenda. Isn't the agenda basically to be happy and accepting of people the way they are?
Basically?
Shame on you for wanting that.
Isn't that
shame
also
on you for wanting peace and love for all, just like Jesus said? Oh,
yeah,
wait.
Exactly. Isn't that what he said?
He basically said, you know, be awesome to each other and party on, dudes.
And then and then they strung him up to a post. So the real story of Jesus is don't be a pussy or we'll kill you. Right?
Wait. No, the real story here is that even the hippies that do have good ideas, people still try to kill them.
Which is right. Oh, of course, this goes
a
little
further. They did a really good job.
This also goes a little bit further, because of course he's not alone. Representative Jim Bridenstine? Anyway, Republican, Oklahoma, calling it socialism. Common Core is socialism. And WorldNet Daily saying it will turn America into Nazi Germany. Going straight to the Nazis, of course.
That's just the ultimate proof that their argument has gone into the shitter. The instant you start making that comparison, anyone who's been on the internet knows that you lose all credibility.
Yeah.
As soon as you go to Hitler, you've lost the argument.
You've lost the argument.
They keep trying these scare tactics that worked, you know, 50 years ago in, you know, the McCarthyism era and all that nonsense. And, you know, people are tired. Well, first of all, people are tired of that shit. And second of all, people are better informed. And these old assholes need to get with the program, you know?
Like the Alabama Tea Party leader saying that a vote for Common Core will damn lawmakers to hell. The American Family Association warning that children won't survive Common Core. Eagle Forum saying that it will promote homosexuality. Obviously, this is the same story that he's getting.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
And then,
of course,
there's Glenn Beck, who believes
educational standards. I can't.
You should have been adopted.
I can't listen to that man anymore without wanting to break whatever is bringing his words to me.
But the standards are evil and designed to train us to be a serf state under the rule of China and Islam.
I didn't know that China was Islamic predominantly.
No, a bunch of damn atheists over there, remember?
Oh.
Yeah. Even though there's more Christians actually in China than in America.
Weirdly enough.
That's just a numbers game.
Yeah.
That's just where the population is. Yeah. They're not really allowed to practice, but they can have whatever faith.
One statement in there that I believe did have a lot of credibility, and that is that children won't survive Common Core.
It doesn't make any difference.
Eventually they become adults. So, you know, you can go tit for tat and say, hey, you know, these kids had Common Core testing and now they're adults. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
You won't survive childhood as a child, people. You won't. You're going to make it to adulthood.
Eventually it all goes to hell.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to be one of those things. So apparently all of this ominous warning came at Operation Education Conference in beautiful sunny Orlando.
Operation Education.
Yeah.
Tactical training for teachers, huh?
OEC. Yeah. I don't even know what to think about this other than I'm going to probably actively campaign against him. Because a vote against him is a vote for our children. That's pretty much the slogan that I'm going to run with on that one.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's more of a vote for our children or for
sanity.
Sanity. It was the word I was searching for. Yes. Yeah.
Sanity. Well, it's okay. It's okay because we don't obviously need sanity in this country, because now we're going to keep in this theme of it's for the children. And obviously politics is against the children. So good old Representative Louis Gohmert over in the wonderful state of Texas. 3-year-old immigrants don't deserve legal status if they can't pay taxes. He blasted President Barack Obama on Monday, the administration's efforts at comprehensive immigration reform, which, by the way, he supports a comprehensive immigration reform, just obviously not to allow people in somehow.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the president was complicit, get this, in sex trafficking by luring children into the United States who couldn't even afford to pay their own taxes. So he's jumping straight to abuse and sex trafficking, human trafficking, of poor immigrants that are coming into the United States.
Illegal. Okay, I got a question here about this.
Just one? Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
I'm going to start with this one. Where do they come up with these party lines that they spout? Do they just have like a book of Mad Libs and just start filling random things out? Is that what's going on here?
I saw this movie. It was about a little tiny TV station it wasn't one of the big guys, so they were trying to make it. And this guy was trying to find something to report on, and the head of the station comes up, and he's like, you know what I told you? If you can't find a story, you go to the board. And he starts throwing darts at this board. And on the board, there's like all these different faces of famous people, and he goes, oh, hey, that person, and he throws a dart at the second board that has like some sort of crazy headline. and is like, had sex with, or what have you. You know, and it's like, you know, I think they might have that.
It's gotta be, because this stuff just makes no sense. I mean, it reminds me of the 47% thing that got what's his name in trouble with so many people.
Romney.
Yeah, Romney got torn to shreds over his 47% comment.
He was saying that in front of supporters that he was thinking were the 47% or whatever.
But
no, they were the 53%.
Yeah.
Were
they the 53% or the – yeah, they're 53%.
Yeah.
The other side of the percentage.
47% of the population is, you know, they're all freeloaders and they're evil people.
You hear that 47%?
This 47% included minors, retirees, anyone on disability. It's like you're just pulling shit out of your ass, man.
Yeah.
How the hell can you –
Well,
how can you condemn a 3-year-old because he can't pay his taxes?
Well, 64.5% of all percentages are made up on the spot.
Well, yeah, everyone knows about that.
Yeah. Now, I hesitate to let him bury himself with his own words because he's a really poor speaker, and honestly, he would bring the tone and pentameter of the show down.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can clip him out and I can clean this up in post, but I want you guys to hear this idiot.
Been hearing discussions also here in Washington for quite some time about how we have got to provide legal status, some kind of amnesty to young people who came into the United States without being adults, so they really get to have a say. Therefore, we need to give them some type of amnesty. As I've repeatedly contended and submit, we have got to stop talking about legal status, amnesty, anything of that kind, until the border is secured. Anyone who says I've ever advocated for the border being sealed is a liar. I have advocated.
This is usually when I would pull up something indicating that he is, in fact, lying. But I'm just going to let him continue.
Advocated and continue to advocate for the border to be secured. I want immigration. We need immigration in the United States. But it needs to be legal. It needs to be people that are authorized to come into the United States. Mr. Speaker, let me inject here. When I've talked about the fact that we hear from Border Patrolmen that when legal status and amnesty is talked about here in Washington, it becomes a magnet and draws people in. And for all of the children that are drawn in illegally, you know that some get sucked into sex slavery. Human trafficking becomes even bigger business.
I have no idea where he is coming up with that kind of statistic. And honestly, he doesn't either, because the example that he cites, well, I'll let him continue.
And reporters want to know, gee, what makes you think they're coming in greater numbers? Just because people are talking about amnesty here in the United States Congress. The proof is there for anyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear.
That's his proof.
Cite your sources, asshole.
That's his proof.
No, that's not proof. That's you being a douchebag. If you have sources, show your sources. What, are you scared?
No, he just doesn't have anything. Obviously. Exactly. No, it's
he's just got a constituency that will say, oh, yeah, I can see it. He can see it. I can see it.
Yeah,
so
his logical fallacy is the straw man argument. I'm just going to put up this straw man and I'm just going to just stab it.
he's like a groupthink leader. They're coming over in bigger numbers because we're talking about amnesty, and everybody else in the meeting goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. And
no,
we're going to...
No, they're not.
We don't have to prove it. They just are.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you do have to prove it, because all the statistics that I've ever seen say that the illegal immigration has been down in the last 10 years.
They have been making it harder to be a illegal alien.
Exactly.
Over and over and over again. So, yeah, they're it's working, but yeah, people still manage to get in.
They can't – the Republican Party cannot pretend – cannot have gone on this crusade against illegal immigrants for a decade and then pretend that – well, okay, here's the catch-22 of this problem. They've been crusading against illegal immigration for a decade. And they, you know, they want to prove that they know what's best for the country and that their policies are the most effective. And then somehow they're saying that illegal immigration is getting worse. So are you just incompetent? Because that's what you're saying.
That's a loaded question there, Mike.
I'm going to get serious for a second.
Serious business incoming.
Serious business, ink to your woke. When I look at illegal immigration, you know, I've hurled rhetoric and, you know, I've gotten my fist pumping in the air and going, yeah, we should do this. And then I did a lot of research. And you know what? There have been so many illegals have come into this country over such a span of time. I mean, the original illegals have grandchildren who live here now. So, I mean, at some point you got to say we have outright failed. Okay, to this extent, which is in the millions of people now. And the problem with being an illegal immigrant in our society is you have no legal protections, OSHA standards, minimum wage requirements. Those do not apply to you. You do not exist on people's company rolls. You are hired completely under the table, and you are basically indentured servants to whoever wants to pay however little they expect you to accept to do work for them at sometimes really, really dangerous jobs.
Oh, yeah.
That would they'd have to pay out the nose to get somebody else to do.
Yeah,
and
Stephen Colbert
somebody
went out,
should be, you know, did a big compensated based on the hazard pay of that. So, you know, at this point, it's like, okay, we've got these millions of people who are basically in indentured servitude and are slaves to corporate America, which is a rallying cry. I think we should get behind and say, you know what, we got to do something to change this. And
I'm still
much
in
Border
favor.
Patrol has dropped the fucking ball, obviously, for this many decades that has gotten us to this point. And there's, you know, we got to work on that problem too, to keep illegal immigration out per se, because that's a national security risk. But we should also, we should extend amnesty. We should bring these people into the roof because they are working hard as Americans and they're getting fucked.
Yeah, I'm still very much in favor of actually everybody on Capitol Hill wearing, you know, the sponsorship badges on their coats. Just so that we know which corporate America they're actually servicing.
Who's paying for them?
Yeah.
You know?
Because it is people like Louis Gohmert that are poster children for this kind of thing. You know, he obviously is running an agenda. You know, he may have bought in so much, and honestly, he's in the news a lot for being an idiot about things like this. So I think that he is actually a genuine zealot on these items. And there is no turning back for him.
No.
This is the road that he's down.
And yes. We call this cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Well, if there's any cognition at all.
There doesn't seem to be.
No. And there's more of this, but I'm sick of listening to him. So we'll just
it's on the internet. Everything is.
Now, you can go.
You can go listen to him.
Go listen to him, and you know, yeah. Just keep your eye out for Mr. Gohmert, because he's a gem. He is a gem, and lots of good things. And we'll be hearing from him again, I'm sure, because he's in Texas and he's gonna get reelected no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, that's just how it is. Let's see. So now since we're talking about politics, and let's see, we got, well, we were turning kids gay with Common Core.
We're turning kids gay with math. I don't know how that works.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, well, there's some science and you know, basic language skills.
But, yeah, but
you plus me equals us.
But I don't know how it's possible that school could have changed so much, because when I was when I was in school, if you were a math and science nerd, you were about as far from getting laid as a person could be. Just saying.
Yeah, obviously, he's definitely picking on a certain certain part of the core standards here. It's ridiculous.
Common Core is going to turn them all gay.
Yeah, all no. No, not at all. I've looked. I have my own problems with Common Core only because it sucks.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't like Common Core. I think it's unnecessarily convoluted.
Yeah, I don't think it turns anybody gay. Because if you look at the definition of gay, it means happy, and I don't think anybody's fucking happy taking standardized testing.
The teachers are really unhappy about it because it's an unproven method.
Hey, little Johnny, do you want to take a standardized test today? Fuck no.
No. It's not even that. It's worse because it's not just the standardized tests. Those were already there. You know, that's not it.
And we already know everyone hates those.
Yeah. Common Core. No, that's how you're being taught, what you're being taught, and when you're being taught it.
Yeah.
And some of these things, it's like, is this just new math? Are we talking base 8 here again? I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah, I've seen some screenshots of new math techniques that they're trying to push. And I'm like, what the hell is
this? Some things are cool, but, you know, it is about getting the right answer, people. It really is kind of important in things like math. Not just how you did it. No. anyway, we're not talking about Common Core this time. Only that apparently it's going to turn kids gay. Because that's
future show.
That's terribly amusing, yeah. Let's see. So
how about turning people autistic?
That's going to be a long one. Let's talk about, the gay marriage issue first.
Okay.
Cause that's less invasive than the vaccination thing. so in recent times here, get yourself pumped up there, Mike.
I'm getting warmed up for this one.
Get warmed up. Yeah. I got a lot of links and it's going to be great. Okay, so where is gay marriage legal in the United States? So far, Washington, Oregon, California, New Mexico, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Pennsylvania now, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Delaware, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. And then there's where the ban was struck down, but of course they're still appealing, and that would be Idaho, Utah, Oklahoma, even good old Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, and Michigan.
Can I just say briefly how amazing it is that it's even being considered in some of these Bible Belt states? That is a fucking mind blower for me that it even made it this far.
Oh, I forgot Hawaii. Of course, it's legal in Hawaii too.
Of course, it's legal in Hawaii. They're all relaxed and groovy out there.
Yeah, and it is at least being challenged in all the other states except one, and that would be North Dakota.
We were talking about this pre-show, and my comment was they had enough people in North Dakota to have a gay marriage ban?
For real?
Yeah, for reals. For reals.
There's enough people to outnumber the cows out there?
In 2004, North Dakota voters overwhelmingly supported a ballot measure that would put a constitutional ban on gay marriage with 73% approval. North Dakota is currently the only state with an unchallenged same-sex marriage ban.
Well, you can add that to the list of places I'll never go.
Yeah.
I mean, this past winter, they hit negative 55 degrees.
There's no reason to go there.
Yeah, there's
there's nothing there.
Actually, okay, there is one reason to go there. Out of all the states in the union, theirs is the only one that actually has a state bank, and all public works are actually funded out of that bank, and they're solvent. So they have actually the best economy in the United States.
Yeah, they literally missed the entire financial crisis.
Yeah. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, because basically they kept it all internal and didn't – basically none of the big banks had any hold over that state.
But that is a future story that we must tackle somehow.
Yeah, because it's really interesting.
That is cool.
There's let's see. There was one thing that was really interesting. I was trying to figure out which state it was, but – ah, yeah, Wyoming. In 1977, Wyoming legislators approved a statute that bans same-sex marriages in-state but recognizes same-sex unions performed out-of-state. Since 2007, state legislators have attempted to pass bills banning recognition of even out-of-state marriages and proposed a constitutional amendment banning civil unions, but those failed to pass. Good. Four same-sex couples have filed lawsuits against the 1977 ban in court. So we are making progress towards a really good equality across the nation where everyone's marriage will actually be counted as being legal from sea to shining sea. And it's about time. Yeah, it's about time. I mean,
now, there are some detractors who say that this is all gay privilege, and we'd like to correct that.
It's not a privilege. It's not a privilege if you've had it for the entire existence of this country.
Yeah, a privilege is not paying taxes on your property.
Oh, every church ever.
Oh, yes. There you go. That would be a special privilege. So, shut up. That's really all I have to say.
Shut up. Let them get married so they can be miserable like straight people.
Yeah. You know, honestly, here's the thing that is the most important thing for these folks getting married. And they've already gotten used to being the pariahs on the street. You know, that's just a thing that the culture has to deal with. Especially when moving around. When it really, when the rubber hits the road, as they say, is when one partner dies or is in the hospital and needs care and has to have their significant other make a life decision for them to figure out how the estate is going to be separated. Because just because they don't have the piece of paper somewhere or that it's recognized doesn't mean that they haven't been living together for 40 years and have all these things together and that their life has been financially joined. Just it's legally not accepted. So at the end of their life, at the end of their existence that they've managed to cobble together in spite of everyone else's opinions, that's when they need the support of the government to say, yes, you've invested all that time. Yes, you do have rights to the things property that you have invested in life.
Stakes and savings.
Or seeing the person, or seeing the person in the hospital when they're on their deathbed. Because they're family. Because many hospitals won't let you in unless you're family. Which means you have to be married, essentially.
And that's just it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are or what you believe in. If you cannot be, you know, a fucking human being and say, okay, to me this is wrong, but this is their life and I'm going to respect that. If you can't do that when someone's on their deathbed, you are going to burn in hell for eternity. Absolutely, unequivocally. That is the It's quite possibly the greatest sin I can think of, that you are going to deny someone to be with the one they love before they leave forever.
It's pretty darn bad. It really is. And you know what? If you don't like gay marriage, don't have one.
It's as simple as that.
You know, just don't gay marry. And for all those out there that seem to think that, you know, this is a choice for people, I would like you to now consider your life very carefully, just for a moment. And now choose to be different. Just go ahead. Choose your sexual preference to change right now. Can you do it?
Or recall that pivotal moment in your life. Your
upbringing. Yeah, when did you become straight?
When did you decide originally?
Yeah. When did you decide to be straight, Mike?
I don't remember ever making a decision. I just remember waking up one day when I was about 13 and realizing that boobs are cool. I like boobs.
That's pretty much what happened to me.
And there was no choice there. It just happened.
Yeah. Well, I think the truth is the Flying Spaghetti Monster erased evidence of your having chosen.
But hey, well, don't doubt his noodliness. Don't do it.
I have no doubts.
Oh, marinara, marinara, Alfredo, to you. So, yeah. So, I as you can tell, we are of the opinion that people ought to be happy, or at least have the ability to be happy in this life that they're given, which means if you fall in love with somebody that just happens to have the same equipment that you do, go do it. Enjoy it.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Go and be happy and put more love into the world, because God, Allah, Yahweh, whoever you follow, they know that this world needs it. We need more love in the world.
That's right. We do. We need more love. All you need is love. Then we go back into the Beatles, because they were smart. They know what's going on there. So speaking of things that we know what's going on, let's talk about vaccinations. Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
You need to insert some, like, scary music for that. This shit.
We need like the Godzilla roar in there just to convey my rage.
Okay. Well, as you can tell, we are of the more sciencey minded set here, where, oh, look, the overwhelming consensus, just like climate change, the overwhelming consensus is that vaccinations work and have saved hundreds of thousands of lives.
It's getting into the millions, depending on the disease you're talking about.
Yeah. We have a link into the Jenny McCarthy body count, anti-vaccine body count. The number of preventable illnesses, 132,986. Number of preventable deaths, 1,391 from June 3rd, 2007 to May 17th, 2014. So that's even a short time. That's only 7 years.
Yeah, that's recent.
Number of autism diagnoses scientifically linked to vaccinations.
Zero.
Zero. Nil.
Big,
nada.
Fat zero.
Goose egg.
Doesn't happen.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It just so happens that what you're seeing is a coincidental relationship between chromosomal growth and development. When autism spectrum, whatever it may happen to provide, whenever that happens, it happens in a developmental phase. A developmental phase just happens to be around the same time that you're getting vaccinations.
Because, hey, you're developing.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Yeah.
Now people are going to say, I believe that vaccines cause autism. And
they will say that.
I present to you the ultimate trump card, and this was a study done by Japan. This study could not take place in the United States for a variety of reasons. But basically, they took a town, and they said, you know what? We're not going to give anybody in this town the MMR vaccine for this many years. And then we're going to follow these people who did not receive it for 7 years to make sure that we catch all the autism. And the autism rate did not change. It didn't go down. It continued on its upward trend. So if that does not thoroughly debunk it, that the vaccines themselves, if you do not receive the vaccine, you have the same exact chance of becoming autistic as if you do have the vaccine.
But what about, because obviously whenever these arguments start to come into play, as soon as you start with a real good argument, the immediate thing is to abandon the one that you were on and then go right to the next one. It's called the Gish Gallop. There's actually a name for it. Isn't it great? So the next thing that they're going to say is, well, it's too many too soon. It's too many too soon.
No. Here's what's wrong with that argument. We have a couple of dozen, I think, vaccines at most, like 20, 30 vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something
total.
Like that. Yeah.
Total. You receive from your parents by either inheritance or exposure thousands upon thousands of antibodies for the diseases that have been exposed to.
But those are natural, Mike.
So these are
man-made.
No,
they've got heavy chemicals in them, and formaldehyde is preservatives and nasty things all over.
Okay, how about you open up your brain pan, bro, because I'm about to drop some premium 21 octane knowledge. How do vaccines get started? We'll go all the way back to smallpox. What did they do to get rid of smallpox? They injected people with cowpox because it's almost the same. So the immune system said, hey, that's a disease, and they fought it. And then once you had cowpox, if smallpox came along, your immune system said, hey, that's a disease, and it fought it. That's all a vaccine is. It is basically the corpse of a virus or bacteria or whatever pathogen it is.
Yes,
it's a dead body of a disease that is injected into your blood so that your body can memorize it and fight it when it sees it again.
Yeah.
The formaldehyde that exists in there, as a preservative, the concentration of formaldehyde is less than is naturally occurring in your body right now. You have formaldehyde in you as we speak, and there is less in that vaccine than there is floating in your blood right now.
Not only that, but your body creates more formaldehyde than at least 100 of these shots in a single 24-hour period.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's what your liver and your kidneys are for, because it's poison. Formaldehyde's bad. We're not saying formaldehyde's not bad. It's absolutely bad. But that's what your liver and kidneys are for. Get it out of your body.
Absolutely.
And then there's mercury. And there's more mercury in a fish stick
than
you ever receive ever from vaccines.
If you eat fish once a month, you're getting like 10 times the dosage of a single vaccine, and that's on a monthly basis. So you better take fish out of your diet, because you're going to give yourself mercury poisoning.
Yeah, but it gets even better than that, because it's actually not mercury in there. It's something
that's related
to mercury, kind of like as a derivative, but it's not even mercury.
There's a chemical process. It starts with mercury. There is mercury in there, but not in the finished product.
Yeah,
people don't want to bother to do the science. They just see mercury and throw up their arms and start a panic.
To go one step further, there's a lot of vaccines, especially the ones that are given to children now, that do not contain thimerosal, which is the mercury-containing chemical.
Oh, yeah.
They have gone to a different preservative that does not utilize any mercury whatsoever.
Yeah, they figured that out years ago. They found a completely benign substance that is better at its job, and it doesn't contain mercury in it.
Yeah, so go ahead. Thank you very much for your commentary on that. Thank you very much. We found a better one. Are you going to shut up now?
No.
No? Oh, you still think we're doing that? Okay, that's fine. Well, then we're just going to continue the science without you then.
Yeah.
Like at the Mayo Clinic. Let's talk about what they just did at the Mayo Clinic.
What did they do?
Okay.
You might want to tie a rope around your head, because your jaw is about to drop.
Rochester, Minnesota. Mayo Clinic researchers announced a landmark study where a massive dose of the measles vaccine, enough to inoculate 10 million people, wiped out a Minnesota woman's incurable blood cancer.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hang on. 404 brain error. Read that again.
You heard it right.
Yeah.
We'll read it again.
A massive dose of the measles vaccine, enough to inoculate 10 million people, wiped out a Minnesota woman's incurable blood cancer.
That's incredible.
Here's how it did it. basically, what the heck is going on?
Sorry. Some loaded in a page somewhere. I killed it.
Kill the tab.
Internet.
Damn you little things. Yeah. Okay. So it's really a remarkable way that they did this. Essentially, there were two women that were in this study, and you were only allowed to be in the study if basically this was your only option. You're gonna die. So let's try this. They found that they had low antibody counts to measles, so they were actually kind of susceptible to the measles virus itself. So what they found out was that if you inject a virus into a cancer cell, the virus attacks the cancer cell too.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So they basically purposely infect people that do have at least a little bit of antibody to the measles. They purposely infect them with measles and, you know, to a saturation point almost with 10 million. And it starts to attack the cancer. And then as the body gets used to it, it's okay, this is a lot of measles. And, you know, so it's generating and building up all the immunities that it can to it. And then it starts fighting that. Basically, the virus is fighting the cancer. The body is fighting the virus. Mm-hmm. And eventually, it all washes out.
That's crazy cool.
Yeah. So it's like quite literally, it's a huge milestone in that regard, said Russell. We have known for some time viruses act like a vaccine. If you inject a virus into a tumor, you can provoke the immune system to destroy that cancer and other cancers. This is different. It puts the virus into the bloodstream. It infects and destroys the cancer, debulks it, and then the immune system can come up and mop up the residue.
That's crazy awesome.
Yes. So,
but it was enough vaccine to inoculate 10 million people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they can produce billions and billions of doses.
No, it's not.
Right, but I mean, with enough vaccine to inoculate 10 million
people,
too
much, too fast.
Autism should have climbed up her family tree.
Yeah. Too much, too fast, man. Too much, too fast. Really?
Too much, too fast.
And no.
They gave her a 10 million person dose in 40 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like her unborn great-grandchildren already have autism. Yeah. like the ones after that are still going to be suffering Asperger's.
Now get this though. They cured a cancer.
That's awesome.
That is badass.
Isn't that the grail?
It kind of is the holy grail of science because cancer is basically an inevitability. If you know anything about genetics, mm-hmm. it's going to happen. If you live long enough, you will get one form of cancer. It's kind of nature's way of telling you your time is up.
Yeah.
Curing cancer is the holy grail.
Yeah. It worked for this one person, but the other person went into remission after about 9 months. But you know what? That's a long time to be without blood cancer.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. It's like a call to action. It's not just good for our virus. It's good for every virus everybody's developing as a cancer therapy. We know this can happen. So there you go. Not only are vaccines just good for you, they might even cure cancer. So stick that in your pipes and smoke it. And I don't want to hear anybody else anywhere say anything about vaccines because they don't know what they're talking about. And as soon as you start to gish gallop on me, I'm just going to punch you in the face.
Done listening to your nonsense.
Yeah, I can lead you to all the information that tells you you're wrong. And all you're going to say is, but it just feels wrong. Herd immunity. You're killing everyone else with your stupidity.
That's true. Stop. There was a breaking news not long ago of polio. It has come back in countries which it was previously eliminated because people won't vaccinate their children. Polio, mm-hmm. which cripples and murders children.
Polio is horrible.
Polio is awful.
Absolutely horrible. Yeah. So yeah, this just enrages all of us, as you can tell. And it doesn't need to. Just go through and vaccinate and stop listening to the nonsense.
Just
stop listening to the centerfold.
Yeah. By the way, they found out that Miss Jenny McCarthy's child didn't have autism.
Yep.
So not only has she basically caused an epidemic single-handedly. Her and Dr. Oz, I think.
It wasn't even true.
It wasn't even true. So completely false pretenses.
Trust in science, people. Science has given us the tools and the weapons to win the war against disease.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah, it also gave us cameras, and that's what put Jenny McCarthy on TV. So, it's a double-edged sword.
Well, you can't win them all, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, she is still pretty. I gotta say that.
That's all she's got going for her, mm-hmm. and it's fading fast, man.
It's true.
Well, beauty fades. That
beauty
happens.
Does fade, natural. But stupidity apparently.
They'll
3D forever.
Printer a new face in like 50 years.
Nice.
But stupidity is eternal.
Yeah, stupidity, that's eternal.
They cannot fix that yet. Maybe with stem cell research they could, but maybe that's why there's such a big fight against it.
Oh.
There's my conspiracy theory for the day.
It's tinfoil hat time.
Yeah, it's hard to say. So I have something more fun to talk about. Through the Wormhole is slated to return June 4th. Now, that is a wonderful educational show. It's not quite as good as Cosmos, but at least as Cosmos is wrapping up, we're going to have another good science show to come back for. And
ooh,
this
yay.
Is like season 5, I think. Yeah, 5th season. But here is here's a little clip of Morgan Freeman. And, he's sucking on helium.
In unusual situations...
You don't always get what you expect. But sometimes, unusual situations lead to new insights. To find the truth about gravity, physicists are studying it in a place where they expect it to... act very strangely.
There you go.
Awesome.
Because it's Morgan Freeman. Come on.
You're awesome.
Oh, man. That man could tell me that he killed my family with a chainsaw, and his soothing voice would still keep me calm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's I can't wait for that. So I'm going to have to go back through my back catalog and check it all out again and get caught up. And I know the kids love it too, because obviously it's just his soothing voice. It's just so easy to listen to. What else is there to say? Yeah, and fun science. He is a lot lighter and less deliberately offensive than say Cosmos is. Because Cosmos is basically pushing every religious fundamentalist buttons.
Well, you know what?
On a weekly basis.
They're not pulling their punches, and you got to respect them for that.
Oh, I absolutely do.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, you beautiful man, keep doing what you're doing.
So speaking, we just did the anti-vax, but, you know, there was a story that kind of segued from that. Minnesota became the first state to ban antibacterial soap.
What?
This is a good thing.
This is a good thing. Obviously, people are not understanding what that does. But it's the epidemic of having too many antibiotics in the system. And when I say system, I mean the biosphere in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's again a little premium 91 octane knowledge for you. Evolution is real. I know that's a mind blower for some people out there, but evolution is real.
Whoa.
And we've been throwing all these antibacterial soaps and things just willy-nilly all over the place at all of these bacteria. Well, guess what? The only ones that are going to survive are the ones that resist it. So suddenly you've got super diseases that you can't treat. And this is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to be doing, and what they're finally starting to do in hospitals all over the country and all over the world, really, is that if they can get away without using them, they ain't gonna. They are not gonna give it to you.
Yeah, there's a science-based medicine initiative that basically says, you know, okay, do you need to use sterile gloves for this procedure? No. Do you need to use this for this procedure? No. You know, so they're going through and finding the evidence and really indicating, okay, so we did a little study here. Do we need to do that? No, you don't. The problem with so many of these things is that it's the way it's always been done. So again, we're spawning upstream against this current of the way it's always been. When we find out something new, something that works better, and we just have to convince everyone around us that you're doing it wrong. I don't care if you've been doing it wrong the whole time. You need to stop now.
But, you know, that is the history of our
everything.
I mean, 1500 years ago, people thought the world was flat. And now the majority of the world laughs at that notion because it's ludicrous. There are always going to be complete nutbags out there who believe we're living on a cube or whatever. But we've learned. We were wrong. And as a species, we just kind of moved on from that. We said, okay, we were wrong. This is right. We're going to do it this way now. And yes, breaking old habits is hard, but we absolutely need to do it. Because, like I said, we are creating diseases now that we can't stop. That 50 years ago, we could.
Now, here's one problem, though. They are not banning it because of what we want them to ban it for.
What are they banning it for?
They're banning it because of a chemical called triclosan that they've found to be harmful to humans because obviously we're the centers of the universe.
But here's the quote for you. It disrupts hormones critical for reproduction and development, at least in lab animals.
Yeah. So even
can we go back to autism?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Why is there this rise in all this autism? Have you considered other environmental factors, perhaps? Maybe. Like, why are there now more gay people than there ever have been?
Because there's just more people.
Could it be just there's more people? Or could it be that there's so many people that it's nature's way of curbing population?
Or maybe they were always there and this social changes have made it so that we can identify them. They
Because the history books won't tell you this, but there's a lot of ancient cultures out there when you actually do your research that they didn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care.
They've actually done they've done tests on large families, where they've got like 10 children. The potential for those later children to be homosexual went up astronomically.
No, we can't prove it because obviously there's no gay gene.
No,
and these kinds of things aren't true. But there are trends, and it is, while it's not proof, it's very interesting information.
Yeah, basically the children in the later series, just to really turn it into a scientific thing. They kind of went more homogeneous, so they didn't really have any overtly sexual traits one way or the other. It's really interesting stuff. It's out there. Go ahead, take a look. Don't take my word for it. It's out there. I found it somewhere. I'm not making it up. But really, I'm happy that they're discontinuing the use of the antibacterial soaps as much as possible, even if they're doing it for the wrong reason. Because it's going to have better, for them, unintended consequences than even what they're trying to go for initially. Because, yes, we have too many antibiotics that are out in the wild, because in the United States, we are basically the number one in the world of using antibiotics. But you'd think that It's not in people. It's in cattle. Our livestock gets a dose of antibiotics every meal. Every mealtime they get some antibiotics.
And then we hear about, this huge crop of cows was lost because they all got sick and died. And, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, but not only that, what we have, all the big superbugs jump species. Okay, so if that's not another proof of evolution for you, I don't really know what I can tell you.
If that's not proof for them, you're never going to prove it to them.
I know.
Them because
it,
there is no clearer evidence.
It proves that we actually have a similar genetic makeup. Shocking. So maybe we have a common ancestry.
Shocking.
Way, way back. And then it wasn't that big of a deal for that bug to jump from one set of mammals to another set of mammals. Because the, bats were, I think, the number one carrier of actually AIDS.
Yeah.
So it jumped from bats who were in a giant colony. And by the way, they're not affected by AIDS.
Yeah, they're just
they're
a carrier.
Just carriers. So
it's kind of like rats in the plague.
Actually, I actually have something to add on that. It wasn't bats. Sure. It was definitely simians.
I think the simians
jumped from bats to them.
Yeah, it originated in bats.
Ah,
and then
we didn't know
to
about
them.
This for years because the bats didn't show that they were sick.
Yeah, we didn't know because they just weren't affected by it at all.
The decoded genome story that I was listening to actually did not include anything about bats, but they did decode the genome and trace it back to what they were actually discussing was patient zero. And patient zero was a Bantu man in a particular region in Africa, and they actually traced it back over to the earliest known occurrence of AIDS, which they're able to do this because the genetic code changes from iteration to iteration. So they're able to kind of use that rhythmic changing of code to kind of date these things. And they found the closest match to that virus within the simians of this certain region in between three rivers in Africa. I don't remember off the top of my head which rivers, but that is where they believe AIDS crossed over in that particular spot from simians to man. And the theory is that he was a hunter and he had killed a chimpanzee and he was butchering it and he cut himself.
Mm-hmm. And exposure. And it began.
Exposure. And yeah. It was pathogen. A close enough match to human and chimpanzee physiology was close enough match that the virus just kept on going.
Yeah, because we have one chromosome of difference between us and monkeys, guys.
Yeah, it's like
we are really close.
1% difference, I think it is, something like that.
It's like 1% at most.
Yeah. So this is what's going on, and if our close relatives that are out in the fields that we use for beasts of burden and whatever else, if they get sick, then eventually, if we can't stop it there, it will make it to us somehow, some way. Because as Malcolm always said, nature finds a way.
And think about it, people. What are the most successful predators in the world? Well, humans. Why? Because we can adapt. Mm-hmm. So the most successful bugs in the world are going to be diseases that can attack anything and everything.
And sadly, we've already had superbugs that are incurable.
It's already happened. We've got diseases so deadly that if you don't catch them within an hour, you're doomed.
Oh, no, not even that.
We've got diseases that are guaranteed death.
Yeah, you're straight up doomed because there is a complete antibiotic resistance.
Yep.
We have those now. We are now in the post-antibiotic world.
We should be
afraid. I'm not kidding. It's really something terrifying. So on that note, let's see what else we have.
And now for something completely different.
Yes. We have another idiot. New York man sues for every penny on earth. A New Yorker has filed a 22-page handwritten suit, by the way, his 20th suit, in Manhattan court for $2 undecillion. By the way, that is a 2 followed by 36 zeros.
It's a lot of zeros.
That's a number so big I can't even comprehend it.
The biggest zero of them all is the guy who wrote that.
Zinga. Yeah, it's just the most stupid thing ever. And I can only talk about it because it's the most stupid thing ever. That's more money than has ever existed on the planet. quite literally.
We're going back to the earliest known writing, which was about beer.
Yep.
Let's see. What is worth $2 undecillion? Let's see. At the center of his dissatisfaction seems to be a dog bite sustained on a city bus, a Chinese couple, he says, photographing him while he was being treated for it and being overcharged for coffee at the airport. He characterizes these incidents as civil rights violations, personal injury, discrimination of national origin, retaliation, harassment, fraud, attempted murder, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and conspiracy to defraud.
Wow. Wow. This guy.
He has sued casinos, banks, and the People's Republic of China, among others.
No.
This particular one was against the New York City Transit Authority, the entire city of New York, Enbon Pain Store, LaGuardia Airport, a Kmart store, a dog owner, and several healthcare providers, and 1,000 separate John Does who were just happened to be on scene somewhere.
It is the molehills.
Yeah. I gotta ask this guy, how do you get your head so far up your ass? I mean, with how big your ego is, can it even fit?
He's come full circle.
Yeah. This is his 20th suit since 2004.
Wow. That's even better than, like, the billion dollar pants or whichever one it was.
Yeah. It's so many zeros.
So many zeros.
2000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000
Wow.
$2 undecillion, a number that I never thought had a name.
I think they should just, they should convert it into unobtainium.
Unobtainium, yes.
Just give him a coin made of that.
He pretty much
unobtainium.
Yeah. I just want to spill some McDonald's coffee on him.
Yes, please.
You know, content's hot.
For the record, I always want to set the record straight about frivolous lawsuits. The McDonald's lawsuit was not frivolous. The woman, in fact, the coffee she was given was way hotter than it had any right to be. She suffered third-degree burns all over her legs. It was really a big deal. Bad shit happened in that court case.
But still, it's been blown
out of proportion by the media.
But still, it ends up being warning. Hot coffee is hot.
It's like, they don't need to warn you of that. They need to turn the temperature of the fucking coffee machine down.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, because she suffered like second and third degree burns. It was really bad. Yes, there are absolutely ridiculous lawsuits out there, as this story proves. But when you hear these things, again, don't take our word for it. Yeah. Go and look it up yourself. Learn about it because sometimes it's just something to laugh at. Sometimes there's some truth there that you need to learn.
In most things.
Yes, your coffee should not be given to you when it's hotter than the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not ready.
Yeah, I am really curious more about what temperature would give you, what temperature of liquid would give you third degree burns.
Well, it was damn near boiling. It was so hot.
Yes, but boiling will give you third degree burns. At least it shouldn't. And they do that. It's probably super fresh coffee. You know, what you'd actually like to get from behind the counter, which is a fresh brewed cup. You know, that sounds really great, right? Just don't spill it on yourself because that's frickin' hot. Because those machines are calibrated to, I think it's 240 degrees.
I believe it's something ridiculous, is
the temperature at which McDonald's, you know, perks their coffee. I, for one, love my coffee as I hold up my mug.
Yep.
I really shouldn't be having it at this hour, but that's besides the point.
Details.
I actually found a graphic that describes this. trying to figure out what they're explaining here. Time temperature to produce second and third degree burns. So,
warning, science content.
Yeah, 140 degrees will give you second to third degree burns in 5 seconds.
Okay, so a standard cup of coffee will do that if it is if it is initially boiled.
5 seconds. So, as being in contact with your skin for 5 seconds.
So basically, as it absorbs into the clothes that you're currently wearing and basically keeps contact with you, which is what happened to her.
So at boiling, it is 0 seconds.
Yeah, it's even faster than that.
Okay.
You are, if it's boiling water, you are instantly second to third degree burned.
Yeah, and the boiling temperature of water in Fahrenheit is 212 degrees?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, look. A normal cup of coffee, fresh out of the pot, pretty much anywhere. Doesn't have to be McDonald's. Is going to give you those burns if you happen to spill it on your crotch. So, again, warning, hot coffee is hot.
Warning, hot coffee is hot. And yes. People are going to take pictures of you with your phone and because, you know, this is what we do nowadays.
Yeah.
And dogs are going to bite because they're just dogs, people. They're just animals.
Yeah, if you provoke an animal, the animal is going to.
If the animal is mentally unstable, people bite too.
Don't fucking piss off the dog.
That's right. And by the way, people are animals. So there you go. Okay, that's the news. Let's get into our picks. I have a couple pieces of hardware that I've been using lately for work, and they're from Lantronix. Lantronix has created the X Print Server series, and this is a small little box about 3 inches by 2 inches by 1 inch high, and they're white or silver or like a charcoal gray for Android Cloud Print, and they have a shiny little red X with an LED, and that's pretty much the only indicator that it's working or doing anything. You plug it into your network, and you plug your printer into the USB on it. Works with multifunction devices and over 4,000 different printer types. 4,000. And it just goes out, it finds the driver, and basically it just puts it on your network. Just available to your devices.
Sweet.
Yeah. For iOS, basically what it's using is the Bonjour print protocol. So you can do iOS printing from all of your iPads and iPhones. And it works. It just shows up. The home version will allow you, I think, three or five printers on your network. And if it finds other printers that happen to be LAN connected, it'll add those too and broadcast them out. So even if they're not directly connected, or you could hook up a USB hub and connect multiple printers to the thing and it'll work. It's really just a remarkable little device. They're about $120. And well worth it if you have an old faithful printer that you happen to have stockpiled toner, like I do, and you want to be able to broadcast that to all of your now new shiny portable devices that don't have any good way of printing.
Sweet neeps.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, so it's awesome. I put a couple links in there straight to Amazon so you can go take a look and read all the reviews. I even had to put a couple answer a couple questions on a couple of them. The home edition, really, it's good for home and it's good for small offices. If you have a bunch of printers, there is an office version that basically expands the number of printers that it can outlay to you. And it's pretty feature rich. So those are my picks. Who wants to go next?
Okay. Mike.
What?
What did you pick?
Okay. I got two things I want to plug.
Okay.
First, I was on Netflix doing my thing, watching bad horror movies, and I saw that the movie Insidious has a sequel. So I watched it, and it was all right. It was a horror movie sequel. It was not anything magical. I enjoyed it because I enjoyed bad movies. But the original Insidious was a really good movie, and should be plugged. I think if you are interested in horror movies at all, Insidious is a good good pick. Okay. So, and it's, you know, it's a couple years old now, so you can find it, you know, on the Redbox or find a streaming service, I'm sure, that has it. Or if you get DVDs from Netflix still, you know, get it from them. It's worth a watch. It was very enjoyable. My other plug, and I have to do this because the open beta ended a week ago. And it was their big showcase of, hey, we're coming at the end of the month. WildStar. If you like massively multiplayer online games at all, if you are even mildly interested in getting into that world of gaming, WildStar is the place to go. I mean, I've been playing World of Warcraft for 9 years, and I'm not going to quit because I'm too invested. But as far as new games out that I want to play, WildStar is amazing. The visuals are gorgeous. It's got a great sense of humor. The gameplay is engaging and fun. And
I don't know anything about this universe. What's it about? Kind of
the okay. The story pitch. Is
elevator pitch me.
Okay, the story is a long time ago there were these creatures called the Elden, and they ruled the galaxy. And one day they decided to go off and do whatever it is that ancient civilizations do when they leave, and they left behind the people of the planet Cassian to raise a galaxy-wide empire called the Dominion. The Dominion were the chosen ones. And so through a combination of political intrigue, sarcastic air quotes, diplomacy, and military conquest, they've been, you know, rampaging around the galaxy. Well, they've made a lot of enemies along the way, people that they've kicked out of their homes or destroyed their planets or whatnot, and these people are called the Exiles, and they have been at war for a long time. Well, all of a sudden, the two factions simultaneously stumble on this planet called Nexus, and there's all this Elden technology, and there's this rumor of this great Elden secret project that's going to, like, unlock the secrets of the universe, and of course, both sides want it. So,
of course.
So you get dropped in on the ships that are landing on Nexus so that you can fight it out for the destiny of the whole galaxy.
So this is a space thing.
Yes.
Space. It is a futuristic MMORPG.
Fantastic space opera. It's really easy to pick up and learn. You know, they do a great job of teaching you how to play. It's got a great sense of humor. You are going to laugh at the things the NPCs say. It's going to happen. And it's just a great time. And if you want to give it a shot, it's starting next month. They launch June 2nd.
Ooh, okay.
So
well,
there you go.
The rest of my free time. Possibly.
I will second that plug as having been part of the open beta. It is a really well put together game. The gameplay, like you said, is really engaging. What you do matters. How you move matters. And it's awesome.
Well, that sounds just epic. I'm going to have to take a look-see.
It really is, and you really do.
Okay.
And I've got one plug.
What you got?
I got something from the night side, which is Simon R. Green, and the link's up there. This is an interesting,
it's a novel.
It is a novel. You can get it on Audible, I believe. So you can listen to it or you can read it. And I believe it's also on Kindle. So I think you can choose your poison of how you want to
consumption device. Yeah.
Rock on.
It is a really interesting, fun, semi-fantasy world that takes place in modern-day London, or the night side of modern-day London, which is basically a recreation of London, but just with every god, every mythical creature, character you can think of exists in the night side. And I'm going to keep saying in the night side because I want to prepare you for what it's like to read the book about what it's like to be in the night side, because he hits you over the head with that same three-word phrase over and over. You need to be prepared for that.
Oh, okay.
But that being what I feel the only detractor to the book is that he really smacks you across the face with in the night side. That's just how things are in the night side, as we talk about what it's like to be in the night side a lot.
Okay. That's
good.
The
characters are really well, they're deep characters. And they have deep histories.
In the night side.
That stuff is slowly revealed over time, not even just in one book even, but over you know, long story arcs. So it's really fun to read, and it's really engaging, and it really brings you into some of these characters. It really
feels. Do you know how many?
When you know
books,
more about them.
Do you know how many books are in the Night Side?
I don't know how many books are in the Night Side. I'm still chewing on the series, but there's quite a few, and there are even some offshoot series that have come from the Night Side.
It's just fun to say.
Fun to say the Night Side.
The Night Side. Where did that come from? The Night Side. Okay.
From the Night Side. And that's where your main character is from. He's from the Night Side.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay. Well, that's definitely something to add to my my Audible picks for later. So, do you guys have anything to add? Or I think we've pretty much milked all these stories for what they're worth.
I think we did a number on this one.
All right. Well, that's the show. I hope everybody liked it that is listening out there in internet land. And if you really did like it and you'd like us to do more of these farces and delivered to you free of charge, please consider supporting the show. Go out to oreillyradio.com and click Help Us. Donate as much as as much of the untold billions that we're actually worth that you can afford, of course.
We would take a half an undecillion dollars.
Yes, totally.
Only 18 zeros.
Yeah, yeah. The 36
whatever
zeros.
Whatever number you feel is generous enough.
36 zeros, that's overkill. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
18, I'll draw the line at 18.
That's honestly, I'd probably be happy with maybe one zero. So even if you did like $10, I will call you up and I'll deliver like a special voicemail greeting for you or something like that. Or, you know, I'll do things like that. I'm also planning on doing like reward bumper stickers or buttons, maybe a polo shirt with a logo. I'm working on actually getting a new, more professional looking logo done. So I have some things in the works and I'd really love to see some support, you know, get involved. And based on that, really what I'd like is I'd like to see you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, circle us on Google+, and definitely harass us on the email and give us a call at 470-222-6759 or 222 O-R-E-L-L-Y, O-R-L-Y, and leave us a voicemail, ask us something, tell us we suck, you know, whatever. As long as it's not too onerous, I'll put it on. No problem.
Totally.
Yeah. So,
thanks for listening.
Exactly. So until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.